Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I had just begun dating my now spouse for a few months, perhaps even just a few weeks, when he invited me to dinner with his family at their house. This seemed odd to me because in other relationships I had and other relationships that I knew of, I thought meeting the family or meeting the parents was just for when you had been dating for like a really long time and were really, really serious. But we had just been dating for a few months. And actually weeks, I think. Now I understand that meeting his family was for him meeting a really important part of him. My idea that getting to know one another was just about us two individuals until we were ready for some bigger step or more serious step just didn't fit into what he was used to. For him and for many Mexican and Latin American context, family or la familia was part of the package. You got to know the most important people in his life at the same time that you got to know him, the individual. They were inseparable in some sense. This past few weeks, I've been especially aware of this intimate connection that we are because of the people who have formed us, who have invested in us, who have taught us, who have showed us the way. And to think that we have the life that we do, or the jobs that we do, or the identity that we do without the influence or the impact or the help of others is just false. In the Western world, we tend to see ourselves as alone. We live and we love at a great distance, oftentimes. And we think that dependency and even interdependence as a weakness. And we see any individual, or we think that any individual, if they try hard enough, they can succeed in life all by themselves. But unfortunately, this mindset has led us not just to disconnection, but to isolation and to loneliness, which can lead to things that cause even greater damage to us. Former Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murphy, in his book Together, writes that loneliness is a huge public health problem and can lead to things like alcohol and drug addiction, to depression and anxiety, and to violence against ourselves and others. Now, Jesus' society in the first century Palestine was probably less like our highly individualized context and more like my husband's context, where personal identity is intricately connected to the family and to other kinship ties. But this doesn't mean that they didn't struggle with staying connected with one another and to Christ in the midst of difficulty. Scholars say that there was most likely great diversity in the Johannine community, the folks that the author of John was writing to. They most likely represented diverse social and ethnic and historical and theological backgrounds, and they may have included folks with Jewish background or Gentile background and even Samaritan background, people coming from very different places and worldviews. The author of John places an emphasis on unity and mutual love throughout the gospel. And this probably wasn't because this was something that they were already great at, but the exact opposite. This was something they struggled with. And Jesus was worried that they would keep struggling with it after his death. These words of Jesus were meant to be heard by a community that does not have it all together. They may have had some individuals or branches that thought that they could survive and grow on their own, away from the nurturing source of life, away from Christ, away from the vine. There may have been members that felt that the differences or the distance in their life experiences or in their community were too great, too hard, too burdensome, and just too much to overcome. But Jesus promises them, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." This is not a threat, an expulsion, or demand, but a reminder and a promise. Jesus reminds them that through him, through Christ, they already are beloved members of the community, beloved branches. And he reminds them of the life-giving source that they already have access to. Even though the disciples and the other first listeners of this gospel may have felt far removed from the other branches, Christ reminds them that they are already bound up in this community. Each branch is already a part of the whole. They may come from different places, have different languages and dialects, becoming even with prejudices or preconceived notions about the other groups. But each branch is a part of the larger community of branches, the vine, and their lives are bound up with one another, whether they like it or not. Cutting themselves off from Christ and from others in this Christ-following family will not end well. It's just not possible to thrive for very long without Christ and without one another. And Christ promises much fruit being part of this network, this family, this network of branches, being part of this family of Christ. Fruit like resilience in the face of difficulty and adversity. Cohesion in the midst of a culture that wants to separate and individuate. And outgrowths extending way beyond their wildest imaginations. I don't know about you. I'm not too familiar with vines and vineyards, having grown up in cities and suburbs my whole life, but I can relate to the metaphor of family, whether birth family, adopted family, or chosen family. The point here is that we as Christians are family, and we've been given to one another as family through baptism, and we gained a new member of our family this morning, Colette, just here moments ago. And as humans, we're not meant to be lone rangers and much less as Christians. Christians especially, we are meant for connection to Christ and to our family in Christ. I am the first to admit that it can be really hard to unlearn these "I'll do it myself" or "I'm just going to keep to myself" tendencies. Like when I couldn't understand right away about how meeting my spouse's family so early on in our relationship made sense. Or even now, I resist letting others into my life in different ways. And lately, with all of the social distancing requirements of the pandemic, the barriers to connect and truly feel part of our human, our Christian family have been especially great. But Dr. Vivek Murphy, who I mentioned moments ago, he suggests a few strategies for those who seek to fully experience the power of connection to our human community. And I would say could also extend to our Christ and our Christian family as well. He says, try devoting just 15 minutes to those you love each day. And that sounds easy, but is it? I know that I struggle to do that with my own family and much less my church family. He also says that when you're with them, give your full attention. No cell phones, no TV, no multitasking. And he also suggests try helping others and being helped by others. One way you can do all of these things here in our WPLC family is by getting involved in our upcoming listening campaign. In the upcoming weeks, you'll hear much more about this and about all the ways that you can get involved in this listening and discernment that will be involved in this campaign. It'll be a time to come together as one family and one vine rooted in Christ, to not only reconnect to our Christ-following community and to gather in all the branches out there that may even be on the brink of withering, and perhaps to examine aspects of our ministry that need to be pruned so they can be allowed to produce abundant growth. But it'll also be a time to harvest the fruits that we've already been producing and that's been born out of this past year. The resilience that we've built in the midst of a pandemic. The cohesion that we've been able to maintain with the help of God in the midst of social distancing. And the invitations that we've been able to extend far and wide throughout our digital church ministry. And to discern together about future fruits as we continue to be rooted in Christ and rooted in community. The good news, dear family, is that Christ is the vine and you are the branches. And this does not rely on us. This is a fact of this very moment. We are already a part of this family of God, and Christ welcomes us to abide in him in the midst of this tangled, sometimes messy community, and promises fruit when we do. Let's be reminded of this today, as well as the promise that no distance is too great, no perceived gap or barrier is too large or complicated for Christ to still use our gifts, our skills, and our life experiences to create delicious, life-giving, and nourishing fruit. Amen.